Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Running Things with Donovan Bailey.
Hello out there, and welcome back to another episode of Donovan Bailey's Running Things with me, your co-host, Simon Jane. What a week, eh, Donovan?
Amazing week, man. Amazing week. This past week has been absolutely amazing. Number one, I mean, and I always got to start off my podcast like this on Saturday.
Is this going to be golfing?
I thought that my days of golfing in Toronto was almost done.
I call this.
Right.
I call this.
And it's not done because it was 24. And for those of us in the U.S., that would be 24, 48, almost 80.
Almost 80. Yeah, it's hot. That's warm.
So that was the temperature on Saturday. And I had a great game with the fellas, you know. So I am actually quite happy, and it apparently, according to the weather gods, which we know that they get paid to guess.
They're very fickle.
Yeah, apparently there's going to be a few other nice days in the next 2 weeks. So let's keep our fingers crossed to make sure at least I get a couple of good days before I need to head to the Caribbean to go get my golf fix.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, that's got to be a real stressful thing to be like looking forward to getting to the Caribbean and before that getting your golf games in.
Yes, I mean my responsibility at my age, Simon, is to be balanced.
Yeah.
So I think that the less stressed I am, the better I am when I get in front of these mics or I get in front of a live audience. Golf is important. It's just like my tea and fruits in the morning.
This is the life of a champion, folks. These are the perks of being a champion. In case you're wondering, so go be champions.
Yes, get out there. That's the motivation.
And speaking of champions, let's talk about our newly, shouldn't say newly crowned. He held on to the belt.
Not hold on here. Okay. For those of you sports fans out there, this past weekend, there's a fight. There's a very big, large British guy, Tyson Fury, was fighting another very big, large American guy, very muscular guy.
They're both gigantic humans.
Tyson versus Deontay Wilder. This was spectacular. This was like by far in recent memories, one of the greatest heavyweight boxing showdown I have ever seen. And I got to tell you, I was so jealous because one, my friend Lennox Lewis was calling the fight. Another good friend of mine, Russell Peters, was at ringside and he sent me the photo, which killed me. And I had a ton of friends that were there. So I didn't have an opportunity to go to the fight. But, I mean, man, I didn't know what to bet. I didn't know what to do before the fight started. So I'm going to tell you all what I thought was going to happen. Tyson Fury is by far the better boxer. He is also more experienced. He's been in more wars. And he's more skilled. Deontay Wilder, it's a one-punch knockout. You know, and that's really, you know, why we're all watching. Because I thought that if the fight went on in in longer rounds, then it simply means that Tyson Fury would be the come out the victor. Anyone that hasn't seen it, please go watch it. I don't want to mess it up for you. Both guys got knocked down, which is incredible. Both guys got up, and Tyson Fury kept fighting because again, preparation and technique, obviously, and relaxation always wins fight. And it also shows Tyson is with a trainer called Sugar Hill. And for those of you who know Emmanuel Stewart passed away, but Emmanuel Stewart was one of the greatest coach slash trainers of boxers in the history of the world. Emmanuel coached Lennox, coached a ton of the greatest boxers ever. So the coach of Tyson Fury is Sugar Hill Stewart, which is, I believe, the nephew of Emmanuel Stewart. You can see it when you watch the fight that Tyson Fury had prepared for everything that came at him. I don't know if getting knocked down twice was something that he expected, but my God, I watched the fight and I'm saying that it is one of the most incredible things. And like my Saturday evening, you know, especially after golf, was fantastic. I mean, he had a great golf game and then, you know,
watched a great fight
and watched an amazing fight. This fight it was epic. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Last time, sorry. I think that I was asked who was going to win the fight. I thought that Tyson Fury was going to win the fight based solely on skills. But for some reason, I wanted Deontay to win. And I'll tell you why. Because it would turn the heavyweight
division
straight on his head, upside down, and it would be incredible. But again, I'm looking forward to hopefully Tyson Fury fighting Alexander Usyk, who is a better boxer than he is. But the thing is, Tyson Fury is 6'9" and 300 pounds and moves like he's 5'8" and 150 pounds. So yeah, it's incredible.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I did watch the fight because, you know, I knew you'd be disappointed in me if I didn't.
You're damn right I would be. Yes, absolutely.
So I did
watch
the fight.
You got to come on board, man.
Yeah. And you know, I got to say, and again, I'm sure you can offer a bit of perspective on this. So I obviously, as a child, I got to witness some of the greatest. So I got to witness, you know, Lennox. I got to witness Mike Tyson.
Right. Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray Leonard, even. I did, yeah. And one thing that I noticed, and again, this is from an amateur perspective.
Right. Oh, mine's amateur too, by the way.
Well, I'm an amateur as in I haven't watched a ton of fights. You
right.
know.
Okay. Oh, sorry. So yes. I have watched. I'm a pro fight watcher.
I found the level of contact a bit innocuous. Like, so for me, watching some of the knockdowns, you wouldn't think they were knockdowns based on where the shots landed and sort of like the speed in which they came, because they're so large, it probably looks a lot slower as well. But
right.
I guess the force would be as equal to, if not more so than, say, Mike Tyson in his prime. Because to me, there was a couple shots that just kind of looked like they were kind of just going to move him over a little bit, or, you know, they took one off sort of like the back of the neck or the shoulder, and it puts them down.
Well, listen, if your brain is getting rattled,
sure,
you're gonna go down.
I guess.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
if your brain is moved around in your skull, you're going to land.
Right.
And so when you look at the fight, you have to respect like Deontay Wilder's power.
Because I was waiting for the finish there.
Right. Because at 230 plus pounds, he was putting down a guy 300 pounds. He was, I mean, as crazy as it is, Tyson goes down and then he bounced back up. To me, like, it's surreal and it's crazy to actually watch it. I can't imagine.
The rewatching of the.
But I can't imagine being in the ring where you have someone who is a big monster. I mean, you know, Deontay Wilder is not a small man.
No, he's not.
But you have to respect the power. And yeah, the incredible thing about boxing, there are divisions that it's all about speed and the amount of punches that you land. So, I mean, I'm talking about the volume of punches.
De La Hoya, Pacquiao.
Well, Mayweather, all of that.
Yeah.
You know, Garcia now. I mean, there's a lot of guys.
They're landing hundreds of punches.
Absolutely. Before you land two.
Yeah.
Right? In the heavyweight, I mean, which is kind of how Deontay got here. In heavyweight, it's one punch. It's one punch connecting. I was going to say what part of the body? But connecting.
Yeah, anywhere,
right.
I guess, right?
You know, so to your point, boxing in the heavyweight division is not necessarily about volume, but the fact that you can land it.
I mean,
and it shows, and that's why when the heavyweight division is on top, like, there's no other sport, there's no other individual sport that can fill a Vegas arena than boxing.
Right. You know, and of course, because, you know, where we are in society now and the way that everything has to be of an image or to fit an aesthetic that we as people have made for the human body. I noticed that a lot of conversations online were centered around sort of, and I say this sparingly, I don't say this as it's my opinion, right, but I say it as an unflattering body type for Tyson Fury. And I noticed that a lot of sort of conversations became whether you like it or not,
right,
this is what a superior male athletic form now looks like. And I thought that was an interesting conversation because, you know, generally these types of conversations, you know, are saved for like models, actors, you know, I'm just saying it's not very often that a conversation about how we view body types happens with an athlete.
Are you saying that based upon what you saw, the Tyson Fury was not the body beauty?
I would say that, yeah, because I'm used to boxers being like just shredded, right? Like, you know,
like Deontay.
Yeah, right. He looked mean and lean, right? Right. And then you've got Fury stepping in there, and now obviously 6'9" is a different frame, but
right, 300 pounds.
You know, he looks like he eats a decent amount of Krispy Kremes.
Well, it looks like he does that, but also looks like he does the right amount of cardio, and he does the right amount of push-ups, because clearly he was, as the victor, he was the one that
went the distance, yeah.
Well, he was more active.
Yep.
He was more accurate, and clearly he was, regardless of what he looks like, he was in way better shape. We know that.
Right.
Right? And we know that experience-wise is also way, like he's way more experienced being in wars with people that are better than Deontay.
So
if you're standing on the side looking in, you certainly will see that Deontay looked like from his last fight till now that he went to the gym. He got way more cut.
Yeah.
He went and did a lot of push-ups and sit-ups and chin-ups. He looked like he worked a lot on shoulders and chest. And sometimes when you're doing that alone, that slows you down.
Really?
And I'm saying that from me being a retired sprinter.
Yes. Right.
You know, so when you're preparing yourself for competition, you have to understand, one, what your body type is, two, work on those specific muscles,
sure,
that's going to get you bigger, stronger, faster. And I'm saying to you, just based upon what you saw, if you're a novice fan and you'd never seen one fight in the history of the world, and you saw both of those guys walk into the ring and you saw both of those guys take their shirts off, you'd have been like, oh my God, this is going to be
a killing.
Like this is absolutely going to be a knockout in three punches.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I think that's the conversation, right?
Right.
Is that you have what is considered the aesthetic beauty of being a physically fit person, mirrored by the unaesthetic beauty of, you know, carrying some body
right,
fat, carrying, you know, not having a completely jacked torso, like
right,
his body a little hanging on the shorts there. And it's interesting to me to see this conversation sort of coming out, because we don't normally have these conversations about men's body types, especially in sport.
Well, we're in a place right now where there's a ton of opinions.
Sure.
That's true. And as you said, this was online. This was definitely not by.
Oh yeah, the announcers aren't having this conversation.
But they might.
They might.
But it because they've seen Tyson before, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
But yeah, people are always going to have that conversation based upon what it is that they see.
Right.
But I'm saying to you that if ever there was some conversation about anyone being body shamed, go and watch the fight, people. Every single kid that, you know, might think that he shouldn't take his shirt off or that he shouldn't go and try out for a team, or he shouldn't play sports, or he shouldn't be in a combat sports, just watch the fight.
Just watch the fight.
And that's your motivation to hit the gym tomorrow, and you too can be a champion as Tyson Fury just did on Saturday.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I know you're lamenting this, but you knew I was going to bring it up because you're a diehard Raiders guy. You talk about the Raiders all the time, and I love it because it's great to see you loving a team, and I'm a proponent of loving a team and sticking with them through the thick and the thin. You know, and being a fan of Toronto sports, that happens quite a bit, especially the thin. but here we are. Your Raiders started off the season 3-0. Things were looking good. Things were rolling. The machine was oiled. Dropped a game, you know, alarm bells weren't going off. And then an implosion happened from the inside. And for those who are keeping abreast of current events in sports, what I'm referring to is the now ex-coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, John Gruden, who has for many years been a polarizing figure in the NFL for a number of reasons, mostly his personality. He's kind of a fiery guy. He has won a Super Bowl, had won a Super Bowl, I should say. As what is happening across the world in different sports and different industries, emails came to light from him sent to another coach in the NFL that were less than positive, displaying language that we no longer accept in society. And he has since lost his job. But there's, you know, a lot more going on here.
Oh, he resigned. I guess it's the same thing.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm quitting. You're fired? One of those things. Right?
So, you know, I mean, let's start with how you feel about it in general.
Oh, man. How do I feel about this? So, for those of you who don't know, I mean, the Raiders considered me as a draft choice back in the day. So I don't consider myself a Raider fan. I consider myself a Raider. So that
family.
Yeah, absolutely. So my support for the team has never waned, and it's never going to change. You know, from what I see and from what I'm hearing, from what I'm watching, from what I'm reading, John Gruden, well, I mean, you know, I was happy when he, and obviously I know him like every other fan in the world knows him, which is either as a commentator or, you know, on the sidelines as a coach. I mean, I liked, we'll just say liked his fiery ways.
Sure. In a coach, I actually think it's not a bad personality trait.
It's a great personality to have as a coach. But I think that, and it's a big but, and I guess they say, the proverbial they say, if you see 100 things and you have a but, then all that you said before doesn't really matter.
Doesn't really matter.
Just deleted it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give a big but.
Okay.
But I can't. I mean, I agree with him being fired or him resigning.
Right.
I can understand his apology. I can't understand when you are. I mean, and again, he was a commentator then, right? He wasn't. I don't believe that he was on a coaching staff
At the time of the emails.
Right.
No, I think he was. I think he was the coach of the Bucks at the time.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
and clearly, I need to read more.
I think I can't actually.
That's okay. Yeah. I just need to read more. But here's the thing for me, and I think that anyone that knows me will understand exactly what my stance is. At no point, you know, I know that coaches say all kinds of things to motivate teams. I know that coaches say all kinds of things to motivate individuals. I know that the coach's job sometimes is to see when their athlete is sensitive or a little bit thick-skinned, so they have to figure out what it is that they got to do to make sure that they get the best results out of that athlete. But at no point whatsoever, at no point whatsoever, should a coach say anything about a person's sexuality, gender, looks, culture, at no point whatsoever. At no point. So the results of what is taking place in Las Vegas, you know, I'm quite happy with what is taking place. I clearly want to read more. I would like to see the emails themselves. I would like to get quotes of because apparently there's lots of emails.
There's lots now. It started with the one.
Right.
And then it's become like a cavalcade. The other scary thing about this particular situation is that how it came about. So this was actually an inquiry into the Washington football team.
Okay.
This actually had nothing to do with the Raiders or Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, and of course the NFL gets accused of lack of transparency constantly. Well, and this is
It just showed, didn't it?
Right. And this is another example. So something happened, which they still haven't disclosed.
Right.
Something happened in Washington that required a full audit.
Right.
Of all team communication.
Was it when they were changing the name?
No. This is, I think it might've started around that time, but it wasn't, it didn't have to do with that.
Okay.
It was a separate incident.
Mm-hmm.
The team itself was being audited for some type of, I wouldn't say an irregularity. I would say they were being audited for some type of...
They were being audited for something that is...
It's very negative,
right.
100%.
Right.
And that's how these emails came to light, because they were going through everything with a fine-tooth comb and then found all these emails from John Gruden, to at the time their head coach, and I think also the owner.
Right.
And so they had the first email, and that kind of, you know, sparked a debate. But now they've gone through the rest of the emails and they found everything in there. Misogyny, homophobia, you know, the whole lot. So clearly... John's personality is sort of in that wheelhouse where, like, he's just kind of a disrespectful person.
Right. Well, I guess as the old saying goes, he's probably going to call it like he sees it within his compass. Without his compass.
I guess. But right. I guess for the sake of this argument, I would expect, like, listen, in a league where 70% of the players are African-American and 90% of the ownership is Caucasian.
98%
is Caucasian. And there's a total misrepresentation at the management level. You would think that if you had these type of opinions, this type of ideology running around your brain, you would think that you'd be smart enough not to put that in an email ever.
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, you'd think that maybe you're smart enough not to put it in an email, but I'm going to go a step further where I'm thinking that maybe this is where what ownership should look a little different. There should be a little salt and pepper,
right? Sure.
In ownership, but even more important than that, some of the corporate. If you have an organization that 70% of the organization is of one culture,
right?
We don't care what I mean. It's African American, so I'm definitely talking about African American. But I'm saying to you, this could fall on the side of anything. It's like saying if you have an industry where it's 70% women, right?
Right.
Then what you want to have is decision makers, people on that email chain that are off that gender or culture, so that there is. So if something happens, you know, you know, there's something that's discussed immediately, and that's something that's not tolerated and dealt with immediately. So I think that, you know, the league being 70% African American, and the fact that the ownership structure, I think, is 99%.
It's pretty intense. I believe the actual numbers are, 3 out of 32 head coaches are African American.
Right.
General managers is 2 out of 32.
Right.
President of football operations is 1 out of 32.
Okay, so it's 99.5%.
And team owners are none.
99.8.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm saying to you that you know, in seeing this, you have to understand that there are qualified people who, you know, could do more than their job.
100%.
Right? And so this is a time. I mean, it's very interesting, and I'm very interested in this.
Sure.
I want to know who the Raiders are going to hire.
This is going to be a big decision.
Right? I would like to know who they're going to hire. And also, I'd like to see any time that there are jobs in the NFL, you know, who are the qualified people? Because I think that you and I have had this conversation several times.
In certain ways, we have, yeah.
Don't hire someone because of what they look like. Hire someone because they're smart.
Right.
But also...
what they look like.
Also, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Also, you got to say, okay, I can get this person to do an incredible job, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's also someone who can give me so much more. And this, all this stuff comes to mind when I think about my good friend Masai Ujiri here.
Yeah, I mean, but Masai, this is probably where the stigma comes from. But I'm sure you're going to agree with me. Masai sort of transcends race for me.
But I'm saying to you, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, his genius is just so that you can't even categorize him.
No, I'm saying to you that he correct.
Yeah.
I'm saying about the incredible ability to do his job and doing it better than any other person.
He is by far the best GM I guess now he's basketball operations. Right.
But I'm saying,
he's everything.
Whatever.
He's got a stake in the team now. They gave him a stake in the team.
Of course he did. Why not?
Well, we know why not.
Well, exactly. But I'm saying to you that, like, he's one of the greatest sports executive out there.
100%.
Right? I mean, but I'm saying to you, more than that, he has the ability to deal with and speak to players of any culture, of any race, to get the very best out of them. He's also has the incredible ability to hire great coaches and great staff.
Right.
So I'm saying to you that the NFL should be looking at. I mean, obviously, we're both biased when we're talking about the Toronto Raptors because we're both big Raps fan. But they have to look at and see qualified people who could do even more than the great job that they're doing. I mean, when I think of when I ran track, I didn't,
right.
You know, yes, I happen to be black, but
I didn't notice you were black, bro.
Thank you. We didn't care about who was in the race.
No.
And to me, when you're in a sport or you're in business, or you're in management or ownership and you transcend that, it's very important for you to be recognized as that. And again, I look forward to see who they hire. I look forward to see, when other positions in the NFL comes up, who they hire also. I mean, the NBA seems to be doing also a pretty good job of that, right?
They're certainly trying. I'll give them that. They're certainly trying.
But I'm saying that they're way ahead because there's a lot of executives.
Well, there's female management now. There's female coaches now, which
female, well, again, you're talking about someone with basketball brain, and that's what it's about.
It is that about. So right.
Let me ask you
an opinionated question then. As someone who has achieved at a high level in sport, and I'm talking about you, and someone who is African descent by way of Jamaica, where do you sit on sort of like the knee jerk reaction here to just hire someone who's black? Like where do you sit on the scale of things that, because obviously you know that their intention is going to be in that realm of
right.
Like, hey, we need to damage control this. Mm-hmm. And you know, we need to bring a black coach in that will subdue.
But I don't think that they have to. Okay. Here's the thing. I don't believe that you need to set out to hire a black coach. First of all, what you need to do is to have a coaching posting.
Right.
And you have the greatest coaches out there. That is what you do.
Time to bring back Tony Dungy or what?
Dude, again, you have a guy, come on. You know that, right? Tony's not only a great guy,
yeah,
but he's an incredible coach.
Right.
Right? Or he's an incredible coach and an incredible guy. What I'm saying to you that I am not someone who would probably want to cater to a job posting that says we want a black person
for sure,
and because that's never been me. That my opinions, my political stance, I'm not at all for that.
No, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
however, you fight for the right brain. I'll agree with you there.
Yeah, however, I'm saying to you that like, again, we'll go back to the Raptors. I don't think Toronto was looking for the best black GM. They just thought, oh my God, Masai Ujiri is a phenomenal human being, smart as hell, was a scout, knows his basketball, yeah. Like, back to front, and also is an incredible business guy. So what they did was they hired the best person for the job. I mean, you don't think of him, you know, being black. You don't think of that. You think of doing an incredible job, bringing a championships to the city. You know, all of those things. And so what I'm saying, like, back to what you're saying about Tony Dungy, I'm curious to see what they do. I want them to post the job, and I want the top five, the top 10 coaches, as however coaches are ranked,
right,
to apply for the job. Don't sure. care who they are. I want the best guy. I would like for them to consider a guy like Tony Dungy, because Tony Dungy, again, he does incredible work. Also a guy who can balance some of these things that we know, we hope anyways, that, you know, if just based upon what we see outwardly, that some of these words or these disparaging remarks wouldn't be written by someone like Tony.
Yeah, and you know, okay, so let's close it off with this last discussion. I'll get this from you. In speaking to, we've just spent a lot of time talking about personality
mm-hmm.
and characteristics,
right?
And that includes the integrity of the person,
right?
So Keyshawn Johnson, who's become quite a I would say decently respected pundit now for the
NFL.
I know
Keyshawn.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. He was not very kind to John Gruden today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you one quote. He's just always been a fraud to me from day one.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been a used car salesman.
Mm-hmm.
Took an already assembled football team and won a Super Bowl based on the work and merit of another man.
Mm-hmm.
He is speaking about Tony Dungy there.
Right.
So, you know, where do we sit on the transparency of the NFL now? Where do we sit on the hiring practices now? We've talked about maybe making it about the best person as always and not about race. But, you know, when you have a Hall of Famer wide receiver who's played with the coach in question,
right,
was on his Super Bowl team, so mm-hmm. doesn't really have a reason to disparage him.
Uh-huh.
He's coming out after the fact now. And I will admit it's a bit of dancing on the grave, but that tends to happen. We've talked about this a bit about the NBA, where it should be just, you know, no more tolerant. There's just no more gray area, just black and white.
Right.
Is there more coming for the NFL? Is this time to just literally change everything and turn it over?
Well, they have to welcome the times.
Right.
And they have to welcome the times right now. You know, to Keyshawn's point, I think that what he's saying is that he doesn't like a hypocrite. And he's on the inside. Neither you nor I are on the inside of
100%,
that team,
yeah.
On, you know, and ultimately, you can't pretend to be a leader on the field. You can't pretend to be a non-biased person, but then you're writing such emails that's making you the complete opposite of how it is that you're portraying to the public. Because you never heard John Gruden say anything when he was a commentator. You've certainly never heard him say anything on a live mic.
Right.
Right. The entire world has judged John Gruden on what he has displayed to us outwardly and in public. He apologized, but there was never room for that. There was never room for that. So if the decision at the end is that he either gets fired or resigns because of the things that he said, well, there is no room for saying those things. So I think that was the right decision either taken by him or taken by Mark Davis.
I'm going to go with Mark Davis on this one. So that's two coaches in 2 weeks. We've spoken about both of them. Your move, NFL. Be better. That's another episode of Running Things with Donovan Bailey and me, your co-host Simon Jane. As always, if you like what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe to us. And we'd like to thank the wonderful people at Acast for powering this baby. And we shall see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Running Things. Things with Donovan Bailey.